sense, but the difference between the two. I mean, we split. This is this is go, what? This is week after week. So I think we already confirmed. You know, Yehuda takes precedence over Yosef, and we were answering in terms of why that is, in terms of Mahalath of life. That was the part that Ben was upset about.
Oops.
Whatever. The part that
having difficulty with
it. Rubbed in the wrong way, that why does one have to be better? Like, why is one better than the other?
Why can't you have both?
Okay, so let's explain that a little.
I started getting to Moshe.
The one important thing is that it's Yosef, Yesod, and then Malchus, Yehuda, and then Yehuda comes back to Yesod. Something like that.
Okay. Okay, let's go back to this conclude about Yosef and Yehuda. We have to agree to the fact that there's a bechira that Hashem has in David. That a bechira that Hashem has in Yehuda, that He gives him the malchus, and it says in Tehillim, even though David writes it, he's not biased; he's completely the Dvar Hashem.
I also asked you, why is it that Yehuda went down to set up, right? One of the great things about Yehuda that he went down to Mitzrayim to set up the yeshiva and all, right? To get him. I said, so why couldn't Yosef do? What's Yosef didn't know what his father needed and the family needed in order for them to. Why couldn't he start that preparation?
Right.
Why specifically Yehuda needed?
Right. Okay. So we'll chaz at that point. Kuli Alma Maidi, that there's a bechira that Hashem has b'David. Bayichi b'David Avdi. He chooses David. For example, we find how Bayichi b'Shiri Zimra, that Hashem chooses Shiri Zimra. That goes hand in hand with the fact that Hashem chooses David. Because David is the singer of Shiri Zimra. But the Pasuk in Tehillim, which clearly reveals this bechira that Hashem has in David over Yosef, is because it says in Pasuk, Vayivchar b'shevet Yehuda vayim'as ba'oyal Yosef. It's a very strong lashon to use against Yosef. Vayim'as ba'oyal Yosef? Oh, so that's the pshat. Klape Yehuda, if Yehuda's in the same room as Yosef, so then, since there's a vayivchar in David, there's a vayim'as in Yosef. The same thing is true with Rachel and Leah. The Torah says that He snua Leah, Leah's a snua? No, but klapi the love which he showed to Rachel, Rachel's a snua. Now, what makes David chaviv and Yosef vayimas? What?
Said vanisvila.
Vanisvila. David was able to be machaven to the nakuda of what tachlis abriya is, and Yosef, although he tried, he was off. And although Yosef was a great tzaddik, he's one of the yushpizin. He stands right next to David. Right, there's Yosef and the David. They come in. They're shvaling the next day. David's coming in, and Yosef's going out on the night of the seventh of Sukkot. But Yehuda / David, he hit it on the head, and Yosef, although he hit the bullseye, he wasn't in the center of the bullseye. And just to understand why that is, very quickly, the tachlis of Bria, although we know as from Yidden that the world has a tachlis, Mesilas Yesharim, right? We have so many psukim in Torah, so many Devei Chazal, I can guarantee you that if I stopped the Ben Torah on the street, 9 out of every 10, maybe 10 out of every 10, if I asked them what's the tachlis of Bria, they wouldn't know what to answer. After everything is said and done, can somebody tell me in one sentence what the tachlis of Bria is? It's a very hard thing to figure out. You know, Moshe Rabbeinu did us a very big taiva. Because Moshe was actually also very driven to figure out what the tachlis of Bria is. And after 4 svarim in Torah, Bereishis, Shmos, Vayikra, Bamidbar, Moshe Rabbeinu came along and in Sefer Dvarim, He did his best in the words that Hashem allowed him to tell us what the tachlis of Bria is, and he put it into the following words: "Va'ati Yisrael ma Hashem alakech Hashem yima ki mirira ala'ava u'ladov kaboy." Summed it up. But even then, you have to ask yourself, is this really the Tachas of Biyah? Maybe it's Tavish Bechsar, and maybe Moshe Rabbeinu only had the license to say only a certain much and not the full thing. Then you have to ask yourself, why does it Ma'ashem Malachech HaShoyim Meimach? That's a Yisrael. Why is it something which is only given over to Yisrael, not to anybody else? What does it mean, Ladovka Boy? And Chazal Darshan from here, Hakobi Di Shemaim, Chutz Mir Shemaim. Very cryptic. I mean, so even in the bullseye, there's a lot of questions. But because this kavana in Tachlis Abriya is so susum, it's so concealed, it's shayach that although two people can be in the same vicinity, one person is al hamatara and the other one is not. And that kol shehu of a difference is the difference between vayivchar vayimas. It's almost like trying to land the airplane, right? You have to hit it exactly on the runway. If a person is off the runway, so then if there's people standing there, if there's something else standing there, then it's a churban. Now Yosef wasn't a churban, but there's something about David that he was macharin ala matara, and Yosef is not. And the reason why that is because David HaMelech was omid on a sod, that since the Tachas HaBriya is, like the Zoya tells us, begin the ishtemoydin lay, that Hashem wants to reveal himself, so Yosef and David, they had a machlekes into what is the nekuda which allows for the Eibishter to reveal himself, that he should be known. Of course, it has to do with Bittel, it has to do with Yira, it has to do with Av, it has to do with Vekas, but to the degree and to the ofen, in terms of how a person comes to this inyan of begin the Ishtar Maidenle, David had his derech, Yosef had his derech. And just to get very quick to the Nakuda, Yosef approached it with derech of Chachma. David slash Yehuda approached it with derech of Tmimas, which also translates into Torah and Tefillah. And since the greatest understanding of Hashem comes through Tmimas and not through Chachma, because as much as we can be Chacham in understanding Hashem, we'll always know less than what we know. So that's why Tmimas trumps Chachma. Of course, it goes deeper than that. But Bepashtas, Tmimas trumps Chachma, because the bigger Hasaga which one has in Hashem comes from Tmimas more than it comes through Chachma. Of course, the Tachas is to come to a Bittul. But does a person come to a Bittul through how much he understands Hashem? Or is there a different avenue, which was David HaMelech's way, which is through Tefillah, which is asking Hashem to have Bittul? Because a person comes to a great, great Bittul, and everything in this world can be used as a tool to have Bittul to Hashem. Everything. Everything which I see, everything which I hear, everything which I experience, everything which I learn, which I understand, everything could be a tool to Bittul. When it all is said and done, asking Hashem to be able to be zeichet to that Bittul is greater than using all the tools which you have at our disposal to come to that Bittul. I think this is the first time I'm seeing the name Charlie Harari on the screen. Okay, great. We were lost, Pasha, without you. We didn't know where to start. That was too fast to be. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu Melech Haolam Shehakol Nehi Yavivah.
Amen. Your plane is waiting outside.
Yeah.
Is there any, like, I guess, kisaron maybe that's the wrong word, but in David, that we have to do, first everything has to go through Yisro before it can get to Malchus?
That's just the path. The path is that going through Yisod means like going through David, going through Yosef first, and then coming to David. The reason why is because since David is what's like is called like the Avodas Habitel, and Yosef compared to David is like the Kinyan of the Ani, because Yosef says Ani Yosef, David says Ani Tvila, so it's not possible to be Mevatel something which is nothing. The first thing that a person has to achieve is to feel like he's mamish. A mamish, that he is something in this world. And the only thing which is mamish is to be a chelek al kamima. It's the only thing. It's the only thing. Everything else is, it fades away, wears off. The only thing which is actually mamashis is to be a chelek al kamima, which is that a person is magish, his neshama, that he feels like he's something. When a person is kona that yediyah, then he can start working in the world of David. But until a person is something which is worthy of being a something, You can't be mavat or nothing.
Is that idea also not bittul, that all I am is a chelek of Hashem?
No, that's a very strong. That's a very strong bittul.
Really saying that's how you get to recognize how awesome of a net me each person is, but at the same time that's also the bittul. It's called more.
Yeah, well, a person to come to that, a person has to be mavat a lot of things. He has to be mavat all the sheker in his life, Seth. He has to be mavat all the thoughts in his mind and the ritzonis that he has of the wannabes. You know, that I think I'm that person, I wish I could be that person, I think I'm this, I think I'm that. And he has to come to a certain hakaras of emes, like, no, this is who I am. And he has to own up to that emes and say, I am a chilek halakam imam. That takes a lot of work. I'm not the car that I drive, I'm not the house which I live in, I'm not the clothes that I wear, I'm not the money which I make, I'm not the letters at the end of my name. I'm a chilek halakam imam. Ani Yosef. You know what Ani Yosef meant? A lot. So I'm not Safnas Paneach. I'm not the Mishnah Lemelech. I'm not this person who saved the world with the plan of saving everybody from the Rav. I'm not the prized son of Yaakov. I mean, all that was chitzoni. You know what it means to say Ani Yosef? It means that all the sheker which surrounds me, Ani Yosef, if the Torah says so, it means that Yosef knew exactly who he was. He was an Ish Emes in a society which is kulo based on sheker. Kulo. It takes a lot of work. We have to ask ourselves, are we there? Once we're there, we can really start to delve into the subtleties between Yosef and David. That's like the world of tzaddikim. Have to go from Yosef into David and back to Yosef, a Ratzo and a Shov. Until then, we can utilize Inyanim of David HaMelech, which is what Tefillah stands for, and other Inyanim of David HaMelech. But that's not holding like in the Darg of David. Most of us are working on trying just to get into that place of Yosef at tzaddik, to be a tzaddik. To be a tzaddik.
The difference between this kashrus and the sod versus true bittul after the fact. First, I have to be who I am, and this kashrus is something else, and the true emes who I am, to get to the level of David HaMelech.
One more time?
Is this kashrus in the sod in Yosef? Because I have to find out who I am in order to be this kashrus and something else in order to lead to the true bittul.
Well, how is his kashrus coming into here?
The way I understand the Yosef's Ani Yosef, everything that I am is this connection, this motivation that the ask the question, what's my purpose in this world?
This connection to who? Okay. I usually in my head it's programmed that Yosef is this kashrus to Yaakov. That's why I'm asking, because Yosef was like he had a very big kesher to Yaakov. He had a very big kesher to HaKadosh Baruch Hu.
Maybe the one.
But he saw his kesher to HaKadosh Baruch Hu through Yaakov. That's why I wasn't understanding, I think. It's very interesting, because we spoke a little bit before about, since Yosef is the meat of his kashrus, a person has to know how to attach himself to the right things. And Yosef made his life says kashrus through Yaakov Avinu and Tzadik Shvav. It's very important for them. So, okay, so does that, I'm not sure what that does to the question or not.
Can you talk kashrus?
Huh?
You talk kashrus?
Sure.
Okay. Based on what I'm hearing, it would seem to me that the real day-to-day work that we need to do really is within the Midah of Yosef, Midah of Yosef.
Yeah.
So that means that really the focus should be on that sort of, not the tzimimus of Yosef, but the intellectual, the work in terms of the Midah Torah, for example, that definitely needs to work it, because we're not fooling by a place of being done in the
right. Okay, so that's a very good... Let's get into this discussion. It's a very good Pesach, because I think, although we've spoken about the Inyan a lot, I think this is a very nice pocket, because it becomes more Lamaisa now. To first recognize that there's Yosef to the left, there's David to the right. Oh, there he is.
What's that thing on your face?
You make me weird outside over there.
Yosef and David. We're striving where we are mostly to achieve a place which is called Yosef. Yosef. When a place which we're striving for Yosef, the avoda is to utilize avodas of David, tools of David, to try to come to a place on the darg of Yosef. Once we achieve the place of Yosef, yeah? Then the role is now to achieve the place of David, utilizing the tools of Yosef. You understand?
No.
No? Okay. So here's the Hezmer. To come to the place of Yosef, the Darg of Yosef means that a person should know, mi ze ani, who is ani, that a person should be kona, a yeshus de kedusha. Because right now, in an Oilam HaShaker, in Erevas HaAretz of America, the world, everywhere, is a very big distraction from this Ani de Kedusha called Ani Yosef, Ani Yoshua, whatever it is. Memela, we have a lot of work to do in terms of shaking off all of the sheker, to come to this Emes HaHakara, not just to understand it, to live out of that place called, how does a neshama live? How does a neshama live? How does a chelik alakam yima live? And to be margish my yeshus to Kedusha. To be margish the yeshus to Kedusha. That means that when a person is davening, he's margish his yeshus when he davens. He's margish his yeshus when he learns Torah, when he does a mitzvah. That he feels like he's present and he feels like this is what life is. I connect to this because I'm a chelik al kam imal, and this is what a chelik al kam imal does. A spider spins webs, right? A beaver builds dams, and a Jew learns Torah and he davens and he does mitzvah. So when a person, he's doing these things, he feels the chaim, he feels the thrill, he feels like this is what a neshama does. And then he's margish that yesh the kedusha. He feels what it means to be a neshama, to have his neshama. But he can use tools of David HaMelech, which is like his spodidus, and tefillah being the ikar one, and all the other techniques of David HaMelech are all going to be part of this war which he wages against the Satan, against his Yitzhahara, to be margish what it means to be a chelik al-kamima. So David HaMelech will hand us the tools, will say, listen, you're going to need my stuff also to get to this place of Yeshu L'Kedusha. But that's, we're using tools of David to achieve the space of Yosef. Right? To occupy the space of Yosef. But what's going to be the ikar is going to be the malacha of Yosef. Which is going to be the ikar, since Yosef is Torah, means that a person has to apply himself very much in Torah. Very much so in Torah. Because again, the three primary mitzvahs that a person has to always look to in his life as ikers, and everything else falls under those categories, is Torah, Tefillah, and Gemilas Chasadim. A person should be able to look at these three categories and to say, I find myself in one of these three categories, b'iker, and b'tafil to the other two. We need all three of them. But a person should be able to look at these categories and say, one of these is me. David HaMelech looked at it and he said, Ani Tefillah. I'm Tefillah. Yosef looked at him and said, I'm Torah. Moshe Benu was kind of all of them. It could be that even Moshe is Gemilas Chasadim. And really, there's a sod to that, because the Ari explains that Mincha and Shabbos, based on the Torah, we say three times Sivkoscha, which corresponds to the Misa of Yosef, the Misa of David, and the Misa of Moshe, which took place during Shalosh Shedes time. These are the three Sivkoschas, and these are considered to be the three Amudei HaOlam, which correspond to Torah, Tefillah, Gemilas Chasadim, because we're about to reestablish the world going into the coming week, and the foundations of the coming week are being laid at Shal Shudis time. That's of course conventionally it's Avraham Yitzchak and Yaakov, but like in the Darg of the Banim, so it corresponds to Moshe, David, and Yosef. We think of Moshe as the man of Gemilas of Torah, but really Moshe from Chazal, he's really the person of Gemilas Chasadim.
How is that?
Because the Torah begins with Gemilas Chasadim and it ends with Gemilas Chasadim. That's what Chazal say. It begins with Gemilas Chasadim, that Hashem made clothes for Adam Rishon. And it ends with Gemilas Chasadim because it shows how Kadosh Baruch Hu buried Moshe. So from the fact that Torah's Moshe begins and ends with Gemilas Chasadim, it's coming to tell us that really the entire Torah is about Chesed. Oilam Chesed Yibana.
Moshe wasn't doing, like, Yosef was Chachma and David was Tefillah. Moshe wasn't the one doing
that. So if you actually look at it, you find that Moshe Rabbeinu is involved in the Torah more than he is in teaching Torah. Torah is kulu chesed, meaning from beginning to end, it's kulu chesed. Moshe Rabbeinu was constantly being involved. I mean, he was moist, his whole life was gemilas chesed for Bnei Yisrael. He was moister nefesh for Klal Yisrael more than anybody was. He's also the moister haTorah, which is why through gemilas chesed he found the kesher to Torah and Tefillah as well. That's why the Vilna Gaon and Chassam Sefer, they both say that right now, as the world stands and exists today, out of the three amudim, we only have one. We don't have Torah, because there's no Beis HaMikdash, and the Pasuk says, Malkev Yisarei HaBagoyim Ein Torah. In Klal Yisrael and Galus, there's no Torah. Like the Vilna Gaon explains, that the Torah which we have now in Galus is only mamish tipin from Torah, which is the Skal at times of the Beis HaMikdash. Like, everything which we have is like mamish, like the shiraim of the shiraim of Torah. We haven't not even begun to learn Torah. And look how wondrous Torah is. Torah itself, we could just see in the tipa shebetipa how Torah is inside. But Malkev, there's no Torah right now. Tefillah, there's also not, because the Beis HaMikdash is called Beis Tefillah. And when the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, so all the shiraim of Tefillah were closed. The only thing we have, says the Tzaddikim, today, which has not been affected at all, other rabbis, probably been intensified because of the Churban Beis HaMikdash, is the Amud of Gemilas Chesed. And that's the Inyan of Moshe Rabbeinu.
Does that mean that today it isn't the case that one yid is more corresponding to one of the first
No, no, it still stands true. Meaning that has to do with Shoresh Neshama thing, and that's irrelevant to Churban Beis HaMikdash or not.
So then, how does one recognize which one of them would be corresponds to? Like, is his Iker, is it just a Kesher? If it is just a Kesher, and one thinks that he has that Kesher, like, how does he work in his life practically regarding that? Are you supposed to focus more time on that Amud?
Okay, this is an excellent question. Love it. There's a catch-22 in this answer. Because tell me if you've heard this before. Okay? Rebbe, I want to know like what it is. This is my kochus in life, my purpose in life. I want to know, you know, my derech. Please teach me my derech. I want to know it. Right? So he tells you. He says, whatever you find that your strengths are, that's where your path lies. Sound familiar? Mm-hmm. That happens to me like 100 times. Okay. Then you search in the Sfarim a little bit. And then there's a huge curveball. What's that? You know what your real tachlis in life is? The thing which you struggle the most. You know, what does the Charlie show have to say about this?
I was on the show last night. The way you would say this in the secular world is your mess is your mission.
Okay.
And yeah, of course. I think it's probably some measure of both. What? I my personal response would be like, don't worry about your mission. Like, worrying about your mission.
You've been coming to Chabur way too long.
Yeah, like, you know, stop pretending like you know anything. Do me a favor. Just like, daven, learn, do chesed, and stop worrying about like when you're going to Shemayim. When you get to Shemayim, you're like, I'm here for this reason. They'll be like, actually, along the way, boom,
right.
You think you're supposed to do?
Right,
there's like, there was the lady. Yeah, all. I know you think you're Moshe Rabbeinu. You were just here in this world to help one lady cross the street. That's probably closer to the Amos, I think.
Very good. Very good. Any other answers to this question before we proceed? Seth? I saw you smiling. You must have asked this.
Huh?
You're looking for an answer? I can tell you asked this question before.
The answer's both.
Huh?
The answer's both.
How to answer both?
Because something's easy for you, doesn't mean that's what you're... just means it's easy for you. But it also means that you're connected to it in a certain way that... And if it's hard for you, it doesn't mean that it's something you should stay away from. It doesn't also mean that it's the thing you got to work on, because it could be something that's hard for you. It might not even be the right thing either, just because I'm trying to articulate it correctly. I'm not, but the something that's hard for you doesn't necessarily have to mean that's the ikker you have to go. It just means you have to work harder to get to strengthen that part of you. Meaning, let's say you're someone who's heavy and he just doesn't metabolize things well. He just has to work harder to keep the weight loss up. Doesn't mean that...
So maintenance. So yeah. The fact that a person has struggles in something doesn't mean that it's his tachlis or it's his tafkid. It just means that he has to work hard to maintain it.
Yeah.
I hear. But the Sfarim, it sounds like that's really like...
The Sfarim sounds like it's saying just the opposite. The Sitra Achra, you know, that opposing force is not allowing you to succeed in that area because that's your tachlis.
But you can say the other way also. The opposing force is because you're good at it, that's where you're going to have the biggest...
But here's the similar
to the Yosef and David.
If you're the quarterback,
okay.
You're the quarterback. You know what? People remember John Elway from the time he used to drop kick punts when he dropped back on fourth down and had nowhere to go. Because he wasn't that good at it, but you know, he needs to learn how to do it.
John Elway dropped kick punts?
You know, oh my gosh, I heard a few times.
Speak about Yosef and David. Challenge is not part of it.
So what's the explanation of this, Marshall? I don't understand.
It's the penemius of the penemius, this Marshall.
This
is
Razin.
So
you have
strength in a certain area. You can't just say, like, ah, it's easy for me. You're able to do it. Hashem gave you that mission to do it. But there's a job you have to do for yourself also, which is the things that you're weak in, you have to learn how to get at those also. Because it's a separate job, but it's different tachlis you have as well.
So a person has two tachlises.
Right.
How can it be to strengthen your weaknesses through your strengths? Solidify your strengths and use those strengths to bring up the weaknesses.
See, you can look at it from two different perspectives. What would Yosef say? In the way we're saying Yosef, he would say, I'm going to find my tachlis. What would David say? Any time that you're with me, Hashem, that's my tachlis. Hard, easy, it's my tachlis to serve the Kodesh Baruch Hu. And if it's easy, I'm going to make it harder, because nothing in the world is easy if you're playing at the highest level. So if I'm really good at something, then I'm not playing hard enough at that thing. Because until you become Moshe Rabbeinu, there's nothing though that we do that's easy if you're playing at a level that is the highest possible level.
It's a flow chart, man.
Right? Tell you what was Yosef? Right? What was Yosef?
Yosef is trying to figure out who he is because he's trying to find his ani. And he's identifying his tafkid in this world as a neshama, and he understands that the neshama's got these three pieces, and he's trying to figure out who he is. David is tamim. David wakes up in the morning. David doesn't even ask the question. David wakes up in the morning and says, tachlis, what should I do? Should I paskin shilas on either shilas in the morning? Sure. Should I go to war in the afternoon? Sure. Should I sing at night? You got it. I'm not asking, like, am I good at singing? Am I good at chesed? Am I good at Torah? But that, I'm not even in that world. I'm David. David, I would think, says, I'm not even at the point where I have a tachlis. My tachlis is to serve HaKadosh Baruch.
We're not staying in the realm.
Right,
what?
So Nike
got their logo.
I think that's where Nike got it. Nike, for example, Nike would sponsor David.
Exactly. Yosef is definitely an Under Armour guy.
For sure. Right? We're working out the... Right? See how you secularize such deep concepts? Tell me there's a chabur in history that has taken such a kedusha.
It's unbelievable.
And brought it down to this world. A dear b'tach tainim, mamish.
We're going to crazy heights or not?
We're mamish the dear b'tach tainim. We're really... We go the furthest in tach tainim. That's our job.
Wow. Okay, so I really liked what Shaul said. Also, Shmuel said, look what everybody said. Right, and Josh, you also, like the John Elway especially. Okay.
Charlie's just like, I didn't know, how can it be?
That's the only reason why you told the Marshall.
Here's the Inyan. B'siyata d'shmaya, here's the Inyan. There's a difference in how Yosef and David does this. How they answer this question is fundamentally different. But let's just package it together first. A person has one tafkid, is one tachlis. That's to overcome his greatest obstacle. His greatest challenge, that which he struggles in the most, that's where his tafkid is. That's the only one. There's one which is tuffel to that, and that's the first step along the run. You can even call that Yosef, which is what? To understand my strengths, and to go towards that, and completely solidify myself with those strengths and qualities. Sounds like that. Yosef, no? Isn't that a movement into the place of Yesh, of Ani D'Kedusha? Right? When a person feels like he's armed B'Kedusha, and he starts to be magish, a certain yeshus, a certain power, a certain shtolt in Kedushas Yisrael, you can call that Yosef. But now you've just started your avoda, because now that you're decked with your weapons, you're ready to take on the enemy. The real enemy. That's Yosef's approach. I'm going to use my strengths to confront my greatest weakness. That's Yosef. But again, just understand the path, though. There really is one tachlis, and that's to overcome our greatest weakness. So how come when you go to the Rebbe, and the Rebbe's like, no, you have to find your greatest strengths, utilize those strengths. You need that answer first, because you can't tell somebody to tackle his greatest challenges if there's no weapons on him. What?
Yeah, if he's a weakling.
Yeah.
But that also approach is very dangerous, if you walk down alone that approach.
Why?
Because you can get into Gaiva very quickly.
I think that's what Rebbe was saying, is that to get to the place of Yosef with the tools of David.
That's right.
Right. You have to carry David along the way with
you. Have to, because you just go that alone. If you get into the world that this is what, even the words, this is what I'm great at. If we just think, like, people are saying those words, like, before they even know, like, we haven't even lived yet, and we're already, like, touching our whole lives up.
Mm-hmm.
Because what, we had a couple of good years, or the teacher smiled at us, or someone says good job and pat us on the back, like, we don't even have a hasug of what that means. Like, we just were better than the guy next to me in Torah, so now I'm holding that, like, my tafkin in this world is Torah. Like, it could really be. And then now, like, that goes even further. Like, you can see kids. I did this. I'm sure everyone. You have a hard day in yeshiva. You're like, you know, I'm a chesed guy. You're not a chesed guy. You're just lazy. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm not. How many people say I'm not a davening guy? Because you can teach up what you're not by just having, like, it's just really. Atzlis, it's Gaiva. Like, so you could really walk down this road and end up in outside Yosef.
Mm-hmm.
You can.
Yeah. There's a world, if we identify Yosef as being Shelo Lishma, you could say it this way also, right? When we said you have to take David along the path, even when you're striving for Yosef initially, right? That's like the bittul in our Hatzlachas along the way. Right? Even when a person is steiging and he's growing, he has to at least acknowledge that there's Siyata Lishma, which is allowing him to, like, perfect himself and get to a really good place in his avodas Hashem and to be a yeshus to kedusha. The person doesn't have the humility to recognize that there's a little bit of siyata d'shmaya helping him. Then that's not even the realm of shalom d'shmaya. That's like Esav's base medrash. If a person, even if he's growing in avodas Hashem and, like, he finished shas 100 times and he's like, I'm such a good learner. I'm the master. Who can stand up to me? Right? You might as well just take that guy and just throw him to Esav's base medrash. Hashem has no nachas real from that. Of course, he has nachshav from everything. That's like.
I think we're saying klape David.
Huh? Yeah, klape Yosef.
Yeah,
klape Yosef. That's nothing. What happens though is there's a shift also between David and Yosef. And notice this. In achieving the state of Yosef, getting there, we see our hishtalus as being ikker and siyata d'shmaya as being tafa. Because David represents tefillah, tefillah siyata d'shmaya, right? So we see, like, be mishtadel and, like. Also, like, in Be'ez Hashem, I'll be Matzliach. When a person gets to Epesah, something, a place in Avodas Hashem, he starts to realize that, no. The Ikar is the Siyata D'Shemaya, and the Hishtalis is Tafa. And then you get to a higher place, which is like where Moshe is, and you're like, you know what? Everything is Siyata D'Shemaya, and everything else is just a Levush, because there's no such thing as Hishtalis even. Of course, we can't just paskin that we're there, and then just patter ourselves. But it's good to know that such a thing exists. It's good to know that such a thing exists, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu does everything, and we only make masks for HaKadosh Baruch Hu to be able just to do everything. Just know that it exists. And just remember how nothing we are. We have to think about how when we do anything, if we think even just for a moment that we've done anything, from the perspective of the big picture, know that that's called Vayimus Bar Yosef. Like, and the tzaddikim, they question themselves at every moment regarding this machshava. Do I think that I've done, like, even a minuscule, tiny percent? They weren't there holding themselves like 10%, 15%, 1%, 2%. They were not in that world. They were like all or nothing. In that world of all or nothing, either you made it or you didn't make it. And they always question themselves whether or not they're what's called Klipas Noga, which is like in the gray area, or where they, like, where they really wanted the Hashem wanted the person to be. In that world. So from that perspective, when you're looking at, like, where the tachlis is, and to really recognize, you know, what it means Hashem Echad, and how He wishes to reveal Himself, again, we can't hold ourselves in that madriga. We would just have Shira Sakalim in such a madriga. No? Mm-hmm. You can't make yourself Efes, even though it's the truth. So you have to go along with it. To go along with the fact, but just know that you're going along with it is already a kesher to that tachlis. It's good to know that it exists. It's good to know that it exists. Now, going back to this question, we've identified Yosef a little bit. Yeah, Jeremy, your question. The tachlis is to be able to confront our greatest challenge. And this goes along with words that Shaul threw out just haphazardly. Very big words. Dira batachtona, right? That Hashem wants to have a dira batachtona. We can see from HaKadosh Baruch Hu what He wants, the master plan of the world, what it is that we need to do on an individual level. If Hashem says, I'm leaving the Yoinim and my majesty, the Kadosh, Kadosh, Kadosh of the Malachim, to come down to this world, to this Shmutz, because I want the Beis HaMikdash in the Tachtainim, that means that Hashem is saying, Kivyachol, I'm going to take my greatest strength, I'm going to conquer the place which is the lowest, lowest of where it is. And Hashem is teaching us what we need to do in our Avodas Hashem as well. To create what's called a Dira B'Tachtainim. To conquer the place in our life which is called the Tachtainim. The Tachas. The places which are below us, which are underneath us, which need to be conquered. But we have to use our greatest strengths to get there. That's the derech of Yosef. Accept your strengths and overcome your weakness. How does David HaMelech fit into this? What would be the David's Mahalach in this? Would he disagree with Yosef and say, no, that's not the Mahalach? Or would he take a different approach than Yosef?
David raised up his hands.
Yeah.
You fight for me, Hashem.
That's it.
I'm just walking around in the darkness.
That's it. David HaMelech doesn't even go to his strengths to conquer it. I mean, David HaMelech says, listen, even if I conquer my strengths, I mean, even if I were to achieve a place of strength using my greatest weapons, I guarantee you I still wouldn't be able to conquer the enemy. I wouldn't be able to do it. Because it's impossible without Sa'at Dishmaya. I mean, David comes from a place of, why go this way? Why go to like get to the strengths and then come around and make your way back to the weaknesses? Right? Why to go b'derech of chachma? That's how a chacham would do it. Because he knows that he has to fight, so a chacham takes good weapons. Before he goes to fight, he has to go into the weapon room and find weapons to fight against the enemy. That's what Yosef did. Yosef didn't just go down to Mitzrayim, like we've spoken many times. Yosef wasn't thrown to Mitzrayim. Yosef chose to go to Mitzrayim. He was sent by Yaakov to go to Mitzrayim. But before he went there, Yaakov prepared him well. Seder l'derech. He taught him the Torah of Shem V'Hiver. Yosef was the Yesod. He was the Kedusha. He gave him the Ketanis Pasim. Yosef was prepared. Yaakov prepared Yosef. David HaMelech, he looks at the journey. He looks at the Tachlis. And he's like, I'm only taking one weapon. I'm going out against Goliath with a slingshot. I'm not going to the weapon room. Happened to find a couple of rocks on the road, pull out the slingshot, take on the enemy. That's how a shaita does Muhammad. That's how David went to war against Goliath. That's what he had in mind, to take a slingshot and to fight against it. Shot is like this. The Zohar says that this slingshot and these rocks were Shema Yisrael, Shema Kana, Shema Chad. That's how he fought. It wasn't B'der Chachma. It was just, I destroy Goliath in the name of Hashem is Echad, which means Echad, Mamish, Echad, that's it. That tmimus, David says, is the greatest weapon. And that's what? That HaKadosh Baruch Hu, kulo emuna, kulo bitachin, I'm completely samech on HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I'm not somech, I'm dafka, not somech on my weapons. Because I know that no weapon will suffice to be able to achieve how much Hashem wants me to succeed in this battle. So David HaMelech goes straight into the war. Of course, he had to prepare himself to be a man of emuna like that. He was the Ani Tzvila. But instead of tefillah being like Yosef saw it as like the siyata d'shmaya in the side so that I can succeed, David HaMelech saw it as this is the only weapon. It's only this. And from that place, all the weapons become puzzle. They're not weapons anymore. Whereas with Yosef, everything is a weapon. It's just that tefillah helps you use every single weapon properly. Does that answer the question?
Is the difference between Yosef and David kind of the difference between saying these are my strengths that Hashem gave me, and then Yehuda being I can't even call those my strengths.
Yeah. Yehuda just sees those strengths as being distractions. Adarabba, he's mavatal those strengths to have a bigger bittel. I mean, Yosef looks at those strengths and he's like, ah, strengths, weapons, yes. Let's go to war. Let's use these weapons and overcome the Yitzhahara. David Melech looks at those and he's like, that's just distraction. Those are not. Adarabba, you know how I'm going to use these as strengths? I'm going to look at them and mavatal them. Mavatal them. Meaning, it could be that if a person, if he were to embrace them as weapons, it would be a distraction for him.
Mavatal them in the sense that they're weapons, meaning I can.
Yeah, he would throw them in the fire,
and not use them in the club.
He would only use them in order to mavatal himself further, meaning he's not going to use them in order to build his spiritual strength. Meaning every black amar which he learns, he would use it as a way to be mavatal himself. That's what it translates into. Meaning, the tachlis of learning it would not be to build spiritual neshama strength to now be able to be a bigger person, to be able to conquer the Zahara. He would learn it in order to afterwards say, I'm mamash nothing, I don't know anything, I didn't begin this gemara. Even after he learned it 100 times, every single Rishon Achron, he said, I'm mamash, I don't know anything, mamash nothing, and this just confirms how much I'm a nothing.
That's the idea, sure learning.
Yeah, but like mamash.
But he'd still learn it. Because he would still learn. Yosef, we needed some emotion along the way.
No, but because he would learn it because not because of what he would gain from it, because it just brings him to a bigger bittel. Because he uses those strengths to make himself a bigger bittel. Not because he's going to get spiritual strength from it. It's a huge difference in how to use those tools. Already? Making sense?
Going to David Mahalach without first going through Yosef is incredibly dangerous that way. Because you're not. You just go in like a clown.
That's right. That's right.
You need to know.
You're still doing things in David. David still didn't go to war.
No, but David only went to war after knowing. First, he's David. I'm saying for regular people, you can't just give up everything and say, you know, it's Hashem, it's Hashem. You gotta like, there is a shtalus. I still gotta like, you know, do all the things you gotta do because we're not at that level. Meaning, if Yosef prepared and he did whatever he had to do, and then once you're at that level of Yosef, then you go back into David and then you realize, okay, now I can be mevatel all that what I am because I know what I am in order to be mevatel.
Let me give you an example like how I would see this playing out. I got this from a Rav in Eretz Yisrael. A person, let's say, is good at talking his way out of problems, or if a person's really good at operations, right? There are people that just like they hit a problem and like they're on the right. Or someone knows, you know, somebody. So, you know, there are people who have a lot of connections. People have their wheelhouse. Wake up in the morning and go off, but there's a potential crisis. So people that know how to, you know, talk their way out of problems start talking their way out of problems, calling people. People don't know how to operate. People go to their strengths. In a secular way of looking at it, that would be like a Yosef approach. Chachma. They plot. Call this guy, 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 and then I'll call in two hours. We'll get it done. They're using their chachmas to get out of problems. That would be, I think, the Yosef approach. Look, the Kedusha. I don't know how, but let's assume I'm giving the example. At the moment where you hit crisis, Yosef goes into action. Chachma. The moment you hit crisis, David closes all the doors and says to Tehillim for now. And says, I got nothing. I got nothing. How do I know that my chachma is not going to make it worse? How do I know that when I go down this line, I'm actually walking into the trap? Mm-hmm. How do I know that if the last thing God wants me to do is open my mouth? Because now it's so clear. I've been here 100 times. This is how to do it. But there is no history that predicts the future. I got nothing. I am nothing. And he sits and he davens to the Kodesh Baruch Hu for his help. Now, I would think afterwards he does something, but the initial, just before we get to like sit back and go, Hatzlacha, that's levels of Amunah. I'm sure there were times where like the Baba Sali didn't do anything and then like everything worked itself out. But you're saying we're not the Baba Sali.
Why do you assume that he does something afterwards?
He doesn't, the Baba Sali.
No. Why do you think David HaMelech does something afterwards?
I'm saying we should be.
Let's say the person who does said something for an hour. Why do you assume that he does something afterwards?
I don't.
But if he does something, why? Really, he's different than Yosef.
Yeah, but he knew Golias for example, with Dov and Golias, he knew Golias was a giant, and he knew the weakness in the giant. He couldn't see, and all the midrashim, right?
Okay.
At the end of the day, he went out with Hashem Echad.
He did something mamish, but minimal as possible.
No,
right?
He did. He had to do something.
Okay.
He still went to war.
Okay, but who says? But my question is like this: who says that David has to go out and actually, after saying the Tehillim, that he has to go out and do mamish a real hashtadlus? Meaning, maybe he just, you know, every. I'm playing devil's advocate a little bit.
No, but I think you're right. I think you're not wrong. He goes out and does whatever he wants to do.
This is the emes about David Melch. We said before. Really, David Melch wouldn't have to do anything. But because the world in its state requires that there should be a levush, he'll go ahead and do something. I mean, to be yotzi, the fact that there should be a levush, so that it shouldn't be open that way,
mm-hmm.
he may go ahead and do something. Okay?
Right. Yeah.
Yep. Continue. No.
So, even in Sirius Mitzrayim, they were diving. Moshe was diving, and Hashem said, "Stop this. Go, go into action."
Yeah, so that's a great example. There is a shtadlus there, but there is no. This is such a great example. No one would ever. If you had to approach Chris Yamsov with chachma, it would never work. Well, what would you do? You can never go backwards. You'd be thinking like the only way it would work is if you approach it with. With Bittel, you just literally walk to your death. So there is minimalness. Like Rabusu once said, you know, he was someone came to in the shul, came to ask him for a bracha. He said the greatest mistake ever made in the history of the world is somebody thinking that there's any connection between hishtadlus and parnasa. There's no connection hishtadlus and parnasa. Parnasa comes from a different place. Hishtadlus is a little bush that we do because we had not. So I think David would walk in and go, "I said my tehillim. I gotta do something. Like, I mean, I'm not gonna just prove miracles. I'm not worthy of this. So let me just like do something. But I don't think for a second that my doing the thing that I gotta do is gonna bring the Yeshuas, because the Yeshuas either come from the Bishter or not. And because it had that strength, it would work.
So Duff didn't think that shooting the bow and arrow was gonna have any effect. He shot the bow and arrow and he said whatever Hashem's gonna take care of it.
Yeah.
He had to do his stylus, which he had to come up with, even using Chachma, whatever Chachma you said, right, to know that okay, there is a weakness in Elias. It had nothing to do with me.
He had to do the most minimal.
So that was.
It wasn't even a hishtadlus. It created a levush so that people should say, "Huh, whoa, look, he killed him with a slingshot. Killed him. I mean, he was a warrior against him. But he did it in a way where that anybody who was a bissel chacham should be able to say, like, this is a total nace. Things like this don't happen.
He
did the minimal hishtadlus so that it should be, that everybody should see very clearly that it was a nace. Because he didn't want people should say, oh, David HaMelech is such a gibor, he killed Goliath. He wanted people to realize that it was mamash kulo nace.
I think, honestly, a litmus test for us, like regular people, and me, regular people, is, When somebody is, God forbid, in such a challenge, do you err on the side of shtadlus, or do you err on the side of tefillah? That's like you know, if you walk into a room and there's a challenge, are you going, I got to do a lot of shtadlus and I got to daven too? Or are you going, I got to do a lot of tefillah and I got that feeling?
It
comes from a different place.
No, but you could do this. We could do both, but
your question is, what's the ikkum, what's the tefillah?
With the tools.
Am I making an hishtadlus and I'm davening that I should have a tzlacha? Or am I davening and that's my ikkum hishtadlus and I'm putting in some work because, you know, that's just what you got
to
do.
To get to a Yosef, but the Yosef to Kedusha.
But my primary is still going to be somewhat in my chachma.
On like a practical level,
it's a very tricky balance.
So the goal is to get to
Bittu.
I understand what the goal is. I'm talking about that moment when you're facing crisis.
Maybe other people will force them to bring out
the strength. Where are you holding?
Where you're holding today.
I'm not even in the game. I'm still just get to pretend for an hour a week. I'm not really sure Asaph's base manager.
I don't think Asaph
would
have me. They would need to go out there for Yosef, and then eventually, you see, out of the shrine, get to that place where you can have the God and David. Can we see throughout David's life that he started on there with Yosef and then eventually got to that place of David, or he not?
No, David was different. David was different. Meaning, the reason why we say it this way is like, if we want to talk about like the Derech HaYashar, which is like the path which is like just Kavish L'Rabim, we would say that in order to get to the place of David, you know, you have to go through Yosef first to get to David. David HaMelech was unique. David HaMelech went straight to David. But that's where it gets tricky, because you can't fool yourself. But David HaMelech had an Eitzah to not get fooled. He had an Eitzah to not fool himself.
Tachlis, what do I do throughout this crisis in the morning? For me.
What was the crisis?
You have a crisis. This is the difference what the crisis is. The question is like, where do I go to? Am I running to David HaMelech? Am I running to Yosef? Using my Chachma? How do I integrate that into my life today so I can get out of, hopefully, at least being an ASAP?
So the first thing is that, this is what we've spoken about, is that the practical way to apply Yosef David in the early morning Lemaisa is Yosef then David, which means to learn Torah first and then to daven. That should be, like, nothing else should go on really before in the morning before those things. It's not a time to go on the treadmill. It's not a time to look at the stock market. It's not a time to make phone calls to relatives in Eretz Yisrael. It's a time to learn Torah and then to daven and to try not to talk even as much as possible. So that, because as soon as you start speaking about other things, so then your mind starts to roll in that direction, and then you have to work against that, because once you push the button of even other topics, so then you have to fight against it already. So you're learning Torah to build your yeshus to kedusha, and then you're coming after that with a very strong davening, which is like being the foundations of that are coming from the Torah which you learned before davening, because you can't roll out of bed and just daven. Right? A person has to build his, has to get his mochin going. He has to feel like he's something, like a certain yeshus to kedusha, and then he can daven. That's the practical etza for hatzlacha for the whole day. If that could be done properly, that it's a strong learning before davening, the person has a seder in Gemara and Chassidus and learning a little bit of Tehillim or whatever it is, and then davening like a good davening where it's like a good tzibur. It's not a rush davening, and a person feels like he's putting in kreiches to kedusha and has a good davening. That's the greatest segula you could possibly have for having parnasa and hatzlacha for the day. Bigger than any skula. Bigger than k'tayres, bigger than anything. Yes, bigger than k'tayres.
How'd you hear my head? I'm like, there's no way it's bigger than k'tayres. Are you kidding me? Did you see the things that we read on? They're gold.
Yeah, I know.
That's what Paige said to that. I can't read that. He literally read my mind. You can feel my eyes.
Yeah.
But then I have to turn back and access that throughout the day.
Yeah. I should give a person chiyus throughout the whole day. Shachris is charge, plug-in zone for the whole day. If a person has a good shachris, the rest of the day is on cruise control. That's how it goes. That's how it goes.
I'll take it work for it.
Even, I only know from the patches that I get from the people that I ask, consistently, even being able for us to not be so proud of our chachma is a level. Like, it's one thing to say, we're going to go A, B, C, D, and E. Something to say, before I go to A, B, C, D, and E, let me stop. Let me just take out a tehillim. And let me remind myself that A, B, C, D, and E is just a levush. And I'll still do A to E. Just being able to have a moment where you go into David's world, and you know you're going right back to being Yosef, but just for a second you remind ourselves that, like, all of this stuff really is just, at the best, it's chachma. Forget if it's gaiva, but just at the highest thing I can hope for is chachma, and even chachma at the highest, I think it sets us in a place where we stop being so proud of our chachma, which I think,
you know, just a chachma of all of our accomplishments and everything that we are. That bittul every morning, which comes through tefila, is the keli which all hatzlacha comes from. Hashem likes to fill empty keli. If a person at the end of davening he feels like he's an empty kli, then he's a kli which is roi for shefa and bracha. That's how it is. And that's why by mincha time, meaning if shachris wasn't everything, then mincha should be much bigger than it is. Mincha is only maintenance, and that's why it's just an ashrei, it's a shmona esrei, it's a nefilas hakayim, and an aleinu. It's only coming to like be ma'oira and to be machazik the roishim which was left from shachris. It's all that it needs to be. Because shachris, if we see shachris as the center of the day, not the beginning of the day, but also the center of the day, then everything else. We'll teach like this, and then we'll say good Shabbos. It goes like this. We spend so much time focusing on so many things. So many things. We feel very scattered, and we're trying to put energies into this, energies into this, and this. If we would just zero in and make the priority to put our koyches into the shachris, we don't have to put our koyches into anything else. That's it. Call it a school, or call whatever you want. But that's it. If we, it sounds like it. It's not the most popular. It's not a very popular thing to do, but in Pnimius, that's the way it goes. A person has koichas all over the place. If you were to put koichas into shachris and make shachris like Avram Avinu was koveya shachris to be, then the person would not have to put koichas into anything else. Should be zeichet to such a madrigal.